Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Carl in the bot, and it's another beautiful day.
It's supposed to be 105 today.
Okay, it's not quite as beautiful. Don't do that. Frosty gets excited.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of Frosty, good morning, Frosty.
So you almost forgot this morning.
Forgot?
To do the
Forgot to do our three-way knuckle bump. We do that. We do a number of things before we get started because anything that will give us help during the show, we use. And speaking of help,
well, thank
my
you.
Soulmate.
Good morning. And speaking of interesting ways to start your day, came across something in Global News. Howlers wanted. Had to just start off with this morning.
Have they checked out our next door neighbors?
Love it. Depends on what you call howling. Do you have an inner wolf? If you can howl like a wolf and are willing to spend a night making that sound in the Maine woods, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wants to hear from you. Okay, here we go. The Wolf Inquiry Project will hold howling surveys in several areas this summer in an effort to find out if wolves are resettling in Maine.
Well,
what do you think?
I think that, you know what, people need jobs. It's a summer thing. I think you should put the kids out there. Let them run around the Maine woods with DEET, you know, all of them to keep the mosquitoes off them, and howl like wolves. I mean, they do it anyway for free. Why not? You know, what else can they do out there? They can cultivate, you know, marijuana plantations. You know, that way they get paid for doing that.
Did you ever howl to the coyotes?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you grew up in the country, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's easy, because they call right back.
Oh, yeah. So you try to get them just a little bit closer. Just a little bit. Come on, just another couple steps where I can reach out and touch you. Hey, look, this is Carl in the bar. We have we've already got people calling, and we're going to get to them right after this break. But our guest today is from the California Fire. He's a chief, district chief.
Unit Chief,
Mike Chuckle, and we're going to talk to him about fire season and cuts in the budget and his ideas on things, on what we can do to help prevent some of the damage that we've had in the past. So, Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. You're listening to Carl and Lindebaugh here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400. This portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. And Leonard Silverman, the owner, okay, you want a guy who's going to give you the best deal in town, who's going to be honest and has integrity, that's where you go. And I have to thank Leonard and Carl because I got the most beautiful birthday bauble. Thank you, guys. Anyway, my recommendation is to go there. Do we want to talk about the fact that at the break we were talking about howlers?
Yes.
And there's a truth that there's hooters. That they hire hooters, and we started cracking up, before we get to the fire thing, it is true that they literally hire, not the fire department or California Fire, there's howlers and hooters in the woods right now.
That's right, and you know what? This thing is, I think maybe perhaps we should even investigate this, that we're actually hiring hooters to go out in the forest and to find spotted owls, from what I understand. But how do you judge which is the best hooters?
I wonder if they wear those little short hot pants.
I mean, before they're hired, is there like a wet T-shirt contest, or how do we hire them? That's something we'll talk about in a later date. But let's go to something like Giants baseball. Bill.
Yeah, hi, Carl. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for calling back. I know we ran out of time yesterday, so start us off.
Oh, yeah, that's quite all right. I was going to talk about this gal. Nothing personal on her, but. You know, if she's worried about the Giants game, she might get a hold of DirecTV. They've got them sports channels, and she could probably get them.
Yeah, and also I think your satellite, too.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I don't like baseball. I don't like basketball. the two football teams that we have couldn't beat a mid-high school team, so they're nothing to root for. So, you know, her priorities and her beloved teams mean nothing to me as somebody living up here in Northern California. I'm interested in the way our radio is now. I like your talk shows. I like the way things are set up. And, you know, and I'm not singling her out, but they seem to come with this attitude to make Redding from Sacramento on down south. You know, when they spent most of their lives looking at us as hayseeds and idiots and taking our water and our resources and outvoting us and shunning us and making us work for half the money because we got a few trees. And then they want to come out and, hey, live our life. You know, we want this to be where we move from. And it just seems to me like it's an attitude they kind of bring. They sell their expensive houses when the bubble was up and come up to Redding and buy on the cheap and retire in a better house than they had and money in the bank. And then they want to sit here and complain about trivial things to me.
Well, Bill, that's a completely different viewpoint we were getting yesterday, and we really appreciate it, and we appreciate you calling in.
Okay.
Because this happens in many towns, small towns, that people move there. And they move there because they really like the atmosphere of the town, and then they try to change it to what they had before.
Yeah, right. And could I get a quick question for this fire guy?
Sure.
Okay, I didn't know he was going to be on when I called. It seems to me that most of our trouble with the fires are as a result of the environmental lawsuits and everything else. It seems to me like they have actually taken over our Forest Service. My thing is, why is it not acceptable to cut trees and put our lumber mills back to work, clear cut in places where our fire department has a chance of actually stopping a fire, and clean out the brush like we used to do? It's not okay to do that, but it perfectly seems acceptable to burn up 500 miles of forest and none of them guys ever say a word about a tree being burnt to the ground. But by golly, if you cut one down and actually make something out of it and replant a tree, that can't be done. And, you know, I think that's 90% of the problem, and the environmentalists have just took over the Forest Service through lawsuits. They own it now, in my opinion, and if I'm wrong, he can tell me.
Okay, hey, Bill, that's a real good question. I have it written down, but what I want to do is first introduce our guest and give him a chance to talk, make a statement, because this is one of the questions that we are going to address, but thank you so much.
Okay, sure. Thanks,
Bill. Okay, now we've got people lined up, but let's introduce our guest so we can get him started instead of him just trying to jump in this. So, who are you?
Well, my name is Mike Chuckle. Excuse me. I am the unit chief for Cal Fire Shasta Trinity Unit, also the fire warden for the Shasta County Fire Department.
So Mike wears several hats here, and when he answers questions today, he's going to have to be answering from different viewpoints here, because some of what he does is not impacted by various decisions made by our government, and some of it is, if I understand right.
Correct. I actually work for the state of California.
Yeah, you're not a Fed guy, but you're able to address, you'll be able to address some of the Fed questions, but you don't speak for the Feds, of course.
That's correct.
Okay. So, tell us, it's the coffee we make here. It chokes everybody the first time they drink it, so don't worry, Mike. Tell us about your different duties right here for Cal Fire.
Well, it's really quite interesting. As the Cal Fire employee for the state of California and the unit chief for our Shasta Trinity unit, that is somewhat differing than the local government hat I get to wear as the Shasta County Fire Warden. In addition to that, within Cal Fire, we have a number of different functions, I guess you would say. There's fire protection or fire control. There's also resource management, and that was one of the caller's issue, is more or less a resource management forest practice question. And then I get to wear the hat of the OES, or now Cal EMA, operational fire rescue operational area coordinator here for Shasta County. And then also within county government, I am the deputy director of emergency service. The director is actually Tom Basenko, the sheriff.
Okay. Well, you sound like you have a full plate here.
Very full.
Okay, look, we're going to take a quick break. And, Karen, we're going to get to your question. Thanks for waiting. We're going to get to your question as soon as we come back from this quick break. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Carl and Linda Bott. Karen, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling for some information for Mike. There is a piece of property on the corner of Churn Creek Road and Rancho Road. This property is on the south side of Churn Creek Road, and years ago there were there was a whole forest of pine trees planted on it, and the trees have matured, and for the last 2 years the property has not been watered, and the trees are down and they're rotting, and it's very dry. Is that piece of property something that you're department would be responsible for?
Karen, I'm not sure if that's in the city or the county.
Okay, well,
pretty close to the border.
Part of Churn Creek Road is on the county, and the other part's in the city. And I have contacted the police department, and they told me that that property is in the county.
Okay, well, relative to county and the state regulation is, if it is an uninhabited piece of property, there is no requirement to clear. We don't have a weed abatement ordinance here locally. And the only in the county, no weed abatement ordinance in the county. There is some in the city of Reading.
Okay, well, if a fire starts on that property, are you the one that's responsible for responding?
Well, if it's in the county, yes, we would be.
Okay, but you don't, so you will respond to a fire, but you won't respond to doing some proactive work to see that the property owner clears that?
Well, Karen, there's nothing in statutory regulation or administrative rule that requires that, and I cannot go, or we cannot go into the private property of one and basically tell them what they're going to do with their property. We can, if there is a structure upon that, under the Public Resources Code 4291, require up to 100-foot clearance around that structure. And that 100 feet is either 100 feet from the structure or to the property line, whichever is closer, because when one's cutting or removing the flammables around a structure, you really can't impede into your neighbor's property.
Okay, well, the piece of property is raw land, but it's adjacent to a business that grows berries, and it's also right smack in the middle of neighborhoods.
Well, there again, Karen, unless there's a structure on it, there is no, and it is in the county, there again, I am not sure of the jurisdiction, there's nothing I can do.
Okay.
Hey, Karen, thanks for your phone call, but you know what? I can hear it in your voice, and that here you've got a piece of land that could be a real hazard here in the future, and yet there's nothing that can be done about it.
That's exactly right.
Because they can't, you know, and I see what Mike's saying. He can't go in there on private property and do something, because once you open that Pandora's box, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, I know that the city has regulations and for what homeowners need to do, and they seem to be able to enforce that through their city codes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just amazed that the county hasn't gotten with it yet.
You know what I would do, Karen? I would go to your Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting, and I would bring this up and say, "Hey, look, we've got some problems here, and you know, if there's no resolution about this, if there's nothing that addresses this, maybe they should do that instead of, you know, addressing things that maybe quite aren't as important."
Yeah, if that field started a fire, it's going to be a real inferno. And like I said, it's right smack in the middle of neighborhoods. So,
got it.
Thank you very much.
You bet, Karen. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay. Fire season. Oh, let's get back to a Bill's question. Environmentalists are keeping the trees from being cut, cleaning out brush. You heard the question. Go for it, Mike.
Well, within the state of California on private lands, which is where Cal Fire has jurisdiction as a regulatory authority through our forest practice folks, is there are forest practice rules that are out there as regulation, and that is approved by the Board of Forestry. We do ensure that the private land that's owned by, say, timber companies or even small landowners that want to harvest timber apply by the rules to adequately take care of the environment, not only during the cut, prior to the cut, during the cut, and then after for reseeding issues. So we do enforce some regulatory we do have regulatory enforcement in that field, but I don't see that affecting us as much as the caller's question was relative to the Forest Service or federal lands. And again, in federal lands, I have absolutely no jurisdiction, nor do I want any.
Right. Now, but I think what he was saying is, and I don't want to put you on a spot here, though I do enjoy doing that with politicians, is the environmental the environmentalists that are suing all the time seems to prevent not just harvesting of timber, but even clearing a lot of the brush that is on the land, I hate to use this word, inflames the fire.
Well, it adds to the fuel load.
Yeah.
I think a fuel reduction plan or program is probably beneficial to the environment, but there are, again, different rules for different areas.
We're taking your calls, 221-1402. We've got to take a hard break here. Joan, hold on. We'll be right. Oh, I guess we have 1 minute?
Got one more minute left.
Oh, my gosh. I guess, well, that's what happens when you have your back to the producer.
There you go.
Joan.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just wondering, since this is part of the Churn Creek Bottom land, I think that lady should get in touch with the Churn Creek Bottom Owners Association. I mean, they're so faithful to preserving the land down there, and I know the piece of property about which she speaks, and I know who owns it. And he's a retired, or could be expired, older gentleman, and it's been in the same family for many years. But those trees are really a disaster. So I think she should get in touch with the very militant and very active Churn Creek Bottom Owners Association.
Hey, Joan, thanks a lot for your
okay,
phone call.
Thanks.
All right, bye. Hey, we've got to take a hard break here. Thanks, Joan. This is Carl and Bob, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143. I'm laughing because Linda was making a sign, you know, to say, hey, reminding me about Tobacco and Brew, and she was giving me a little smoking sign. And when she did, Frosty got excited. So, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest tobacco emporium west of the Mississippi. They got, you know what, they have a walk-in humidor that just knocks your socks off, if you have socks. They have Espresso Joe's, which gives you coffee at real reasonable prices, and they know how to make any type of coffee you could possibly want. Not only that, but Joe and Shelley are big supporters of this community. And also Missing America Project, which, by the way, has reached Virginia today. We're following this, and it seems to me we're the only ones that are following this in the city of Reading. And what a huge thing this is. Thousands of people are meeting them. And I haven't seen one word on Channel 7, I haven't seen one word in a record searchlight. You might want to ask why. Did they just forget that they left? I mean, we're talking thousands of people there that are on overpasses, that are meeting them, you know, hundreds and hundreds of riders. This thing is huge. Anyway, let's go back to Mike.
our guest today, give us your title again, because it's so impressive.
Well, which title would you like? No,
husband, father, no.
Cal Fire Unit Chief, Shasta Trinity Unit, Mike. Shasta County Fire Ward.
That's right. Mike Chuckle.
And speaking of which, we were talking about tobacco and brew. People, don't flick your cigarettes out the window. Okay, Mike.
No, don't do that. That is a violation of law, and you may get a ticket.
Yeah, and start a fire, which is just very taboo. So.
All right, now, we're talking about the clearing. And environmentalists, you know, we talked a little bit about it during the break.
I'd like to talk a little smaller scale. I did mention about clearing around structures up to 100 feet, Public Resource Code 4291. We have been out on an annual basis. We start in about February here in Shasta County and in Trinity County, and we do home inspections, and we want to make sure that the flammable vegetation is cleared at least 30 feet from the structure and an additional 70 feet out where we want it thinned and limbed up, get the fire out of those. We want to eliminate the ladder fuels. If a fire does come through, we don't want it up in the crowns of the trees, and if it is in the crowns, we want it to come on down. And so it is the homeowner's responsibility here. It's not our responsibility. We do go out and do inspections, but the homeowner's responsibility to ensure that clearance is done. And this is the time of year that it probably should have been finished. If you haven't done it, you want to get on it. And we do ask that if you're going to do some clearing, you do it in the morning hours when the temperature is typically cooler and the humidities are up a little higher. We don't want using motorized equipment when it's hot and dry and windy. They do
because that little spark.
That little spark, and it's very hard for us to respond to a fire where the homeowner has taken the responsibility to do clearing, however, started a fire, and then we, depending on if it escapes that individual's property or not, they may be liable for suppression costs or even a criminal citation.
Oh. So, and today, I think to say the temperature is going to be up over 100 today, and, you know, last year Linda and I had gone back east for a wedding, a family member. My nephew was getting married. We came back to something like 800 fires in Shasta County. That's in June 21st of last year. What do you think this year is going to look like, Mike?
Well, June 21st to live with me until I die was quite a historic event. If you were around in Shasta County, which you weren't that morning, to see the lightning strikes actually come in, it did start in our Trinity County first, and it kind of went from the south to the northeast, right across the entire unit. Not only was the state land or the private lands affected, but so was the Forest Service and all the federal lands. Lots and lots of fires, more than collectively we could come together. You know, one thing about the fire service delivery here in Shasta and Trinity County is we believe in what's called the closest resource concept, which somebody calls 911 for a fire emergency issue. They don't care what color fire engine, or they don't care what kind of uniform the individual's wearing. They just want the closest resource to show up, mitigate that emergency, and then let us deal with jurisdictional issues at a later date. And that's pretty much what we do here in Shasta and Trinity County.
So this, and so this 800-pound gorilla is facing everybody, the economy. Do you see cuts? Do you see what do you see that happening, or if any impact at all?
I wish I knew. I think, Carl, if I had that crystal ball where I could tell you where the cuts are, the governor and the legislature is going to make these cuts, and I could predict all that, I think I'd probably be living on a yacht somewhere on a nice white sandy beach. But I don't have that prediction ability. We'll wait and see. I know the governor and the legislature folks are looking at all their options. You know, we do have – the governor has proposed the Emergency Response Initiative, which is just a surcharge of insurances on insurance policies statewide. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that is a proposal that will have some designated monies back to the fire service delivery here in California. I certainly can't tell you where that's going, and I don't know where the budgets are going to take us either.
I know this is I wish I had a crystal ball too, but you know, you've got to take a look at how you would run your own home, and which is what I think that our legislatures are not doing. They're not treating us like their family. They're not treating us like it's their home. Where you take care of your home and you take care of your family first, your family members, and you protect them. And protection is such a big thing. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, that, you know, so that you have, you know, fire protection, police protection, you know, you protect your home and the sanctity of your home before you pay for your cable TV, if that makes sense. You know, so you don't have 250 channels on cable TV. So now you just have rabbit ears and you get five channels. But your family's safe, there's food on the table, there's electricity, that kind of stuff. They're not doing that. So I would like them to see them stand up and say, here's the priority for our state here, and not just wastefully just splattering like you would shooting a shotgun at a barn and hoping that you hit the part you want. So, okay, we've talked about defensible space. We've talked about the environmental problems that in some cases they face, because there's, I guess, environmental lawsuits all the time. One of the things that we talked about is the cost of harvesting timber right now is almost not worth it. Is that right?
That's true. The timber companies and the folks that are doing harvesting, they're in it to make a profit and or at least pay for their business. And right now, with the lumber prices that are extremely low, there are some fuel costs, you know, all the personnel costs, all the study costs, all those costs associated with the timber harvest plan and the acceptance of that and actually going to cut. These industries or these companies have to look at that. Is it financially worth their while to do that? But that's the economy. That's supply and demand at its finest.
Well, that's because all the new home starts and everything is just way down.
Let's go to the phone. James, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
We're great.
We're doing fine,
Thank
James.
You.
Great. I want to put this host on the spot. He alluded to an analogy a couple minutes ago about cutting the cable TV. And from what I understand, the budget crisis is so huge that there's no cable TV, you know, there's no 250 channels to cut. So do you have an example of something that you would cut? Because, I mean, a lot of times what I hear is the fire department, the police department, and the teachers union, and all of them saying, don't cut me. But, you know, and then, you know, the senior citizens and, you know, highway funds, and, I mean, everybody wants their piece of the pie. And, you know, I think it would be interesting to hear every group that says not me to say, well, where should the cuts come from?
You know,
so particularly the host gave that analogy, and so I'll take my answer off the air, but I just a specific thing that besides just giving a generalized analogy, but just some specifics of what you would cut that would make sense to you.
Okay. Thanks, James. Something I would look at right away is consolidating our all of our schools. We've got 16 separate school districts, and I just don't believe that we need 16 separate school districts for our students up here. So can we cut that down to 5 or less? Could they cut it down to one big district that overlooks everything? Let's take a look at, you know, it may not be a large cut, but Turtle Bay, we've got 10% out of it, but it's only 5% of their budget comes from the city. So maybe we should cut, you know, a third because everybody else is losing a third of what they're doing. What are we doing to bring in business here in town? You know, that's a way of acquiring more taxes. See, what else could we cut on? In the state of California. You know, people don't like to hear this, but we're spending billions of dollars on the people that are here illegally. And I hate to say that, but our emergency rooms are overrun because of people going there to get free treatment. Of course, you know, that ties in, again, then into health questions and, you know, national health policies. But maybe you should take a look at, again, making priorities of what we think is important here in our state. What else can we cut on? Maybe the fact is if we have, right now, the new housing starts aren't happening because of the economy, but part of the economy is we're taxing things so heavy. You know, it costs, where it used to, you know, to get a permit, it costs, you know, like $20,000. I mean, why does it cost that much for things? So these are just a few of the things. So, you know, again, I go back into the sense of everybody wants to, you know, you're right, it's not in my backyard. I think the other thing we need to do, too, is take a look at how much we're paying in our unions. Is, you know, not to cut the guys off that are already out there and grandfather them, but let's take a look at how much we're paying into this throughout the state.
And getting volunteers to maybe do the gardening and the mowing and the things that are, that they're getting $20 and $25 an hour for.
How about okay, Jim, here's something else. How about privatizing? We're spending $1 million a year on the Civic Center, above and beyond what it brings in. Why don't we privatize it? Why don't we privatize garbage and trash collection? Why don't we take a look at that? There's a lot of things that I'd like to see happen around here, but the big thing that Frosty needs to see is a break because I've gone way past it. So this is Carl Lindabott on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Oh, I kind of woke you all up out there, huh? Boy, these phone lines are, and look, there's people marching on the studio. But, hey, Don, good morning.
Good morning. Very interesting topic and one that needs to be discussed and run and changed a great deal, I believe. The one that I'd like to, that irritates me so much is our wonderful Department of Highways, the Department, or Caltrans. There seem to have a problem with Caltrans. There's just too many chiefs and not enough Indians. The other day, and this has happened repeatedly, at the corner of 273 and Canyon, there's a minor project down there. One man was standing there with a broom, kind of sweeping up. There was two groups of four, and they were just standing around looking at each other, scratching their backsides and talking. And it just seems this is very prevalent with Caltrans. And I believe that perhaps what we should do, or the state should do, is to privatize all of that. Shut the whole damn thing down and put it out for a bid.
Well, you know what? I'm a big proponent of privatization. Now, the only problem I see with it is when you go into privatization, and this has got to be part of the contract when they're working, is the fact that you know, unions can say, "Hey, wait, we're going to strike," and so then we're stuck like. But I think that could also be in the contract, is that you can't strike, and that fines can be levied. And the other thing too is that guess what? If you want to strike, I bet we can hire 5 people for every person that goes on a strike during this economy to go work for $25 an hour.
You got it right, pal. And like I said, the problem is there's just too many chiefs. And what do they need 9 people out there for to sweep up a corner?
Well, they had to say, well, you had 4 of them saying which direction to sweep, and you had environmentalists there, and then you had 2 lawyers.
Well, there you go with the union too, buddy, because that's exactly what the unions have done to us nationally.
Yeah,
and it's a problem that's come home to roost, and yet no one wants to give.
Okay, thanks a lot. We got a lot of people on here. John, you're up.
Good morning, Carl. Linda, how are you this morning?
Morning.
Well, you know, we start out with fire, and then we kind of like get wild
and
after that.
And then Carl's got it deep in his belly.
You know what? When those craws get full, they have to spit out. That's all there is to it.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate what Jim said because, you know, he did put me on a spot. He said, well, what would you do? And that these are just some of the things I would do, and I appreciate that phone call, Jim. Makes me get quick on my feet. John, what do you got?
Well, in regards to that last caller, I've got to say something, then I'll get on to my topic. I think the privatization of Caltrans would probably be wise. The biggest improvement would be that you could offer bonus and penalties for early or late completion of work.
That's a good point.
That's the incentive process that drives business.
You know, see, here's the problem when you've got, you know you're going to have a job and that it becomes so difficult to get rid of somebody that's a non-producer that, you know, there's no incentive for them to go forward with it. And they have regular raises, and they know if they just hang in there for X amount of time, they're going to be on sucking on the public for a while. Now, I've got no problem with that. I have no problem with people working for the government. We need good people to work for the government. Let's make good people. I mean, you wouldn't keep somebody who was a non-producer in your private company.
No, they wouldn't, but you would incentivize them to go ahead and produce.
Right.
And that's that. Now, I want to get away from that for a minute and go back to something you talked about earlier because that's what I really called about.
Okay, but you're going to have to wait till we take this quick break.
I'll wait for the break.
All right, sorry. Okay, we'll come right back to you, John. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. John is on the line. John, you know, we're kind of coming down to the wire, so what do you got?
We'll make it real quick, Linda. Illegal immigration and border security. I believe that what Carl was talking about in regards to the strain on the emergency rooms and whatnot goes throughout the entire economy on every type of welfare program possible. The illegal immigrants are making an impact upon the economic deficit of the border states that all border Mexico, and I'm talking about Arizona, Texas, California, they're all suffering major economic deficits, and I believe that the concept of illegal immigrants having rights is what's doing it, rights to health care, to food stamps, to all the rest of it. If we don't get a handle on these 11 million illegal immigrants in this country, they're going to sink the United States economically. That's where my point is. And the other thing I want to say was a shout-out to Stephanie, the barista at Tobacco and Brew.
Oh, great.
Fantastic coffee maker. She's great, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you, John. Thanks a lot.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for your service to our country and our community. It was a pleasure meeting you Sunday with my son, Zach.
Okay. Hey, and thank you for what you've done, Mike.
No problem, sir. And the previous caller touched briefly on the welfare system and food stamps. I was in a chain grocery store. I won't give them a plug because I don't believe they deserve it the other day, and I watched a lady with a shopping cart in front of her, a shopping cart behind her, overflowing with every steak and roast and T-bone and God knows what else, and she paid for $500-something worth of groceries on food stamps. I looked at my cart, and all I could do was fill up where the baby sits, and I got to pay cash, and I was blessed. But if we can get our welfare recipients to work and not have it so lucrative, possibly we could turn our local economy around. I'll take any comments up here. Thanks, guys.
Wow.
You know, Mike, what can you say on something like that? You know, we talk about how to bring more money in, or how do we start making cuts. Maybe we ought to take a real close look at who is getting assistance. Now, there's people that need assistance, and I'm not somebody just to throw people out in the street. I'm not like that. People who know me know that. But I also know is that you've got to take a look at every aspect of what's going on. And by the way, and I'm not bashing any group, but I just saw for the first time here in Reading a billboard, and it's all in Spanish. I don't know if anybody else has seen that, but it's all in Spanish, and that you know, that's kind of strange. I'm used to it down along the border in in San Diego and that. But anyway, let's go back to fire. Mark, you're up.
Hello there. How are you?
Fine.
Nice to talk to you, Carl. Thank you for your service to our country. I think one of the problems with fighting fires is the kind of equipment that you have available. And when I see last year how much effective firefighting can be done with a 60-year-old seaplane that's been converted to firefighting and dropping retardant and water, I was appalled that no one in the government has looked back over the millions and millions of dollars that have been spent over the last 10, 15 years fighting fires in the North State and said, well, and not to mention the fires in Florida, the fires in Australia, you know, why haven't these governments come together and said, you know what, we need a fleet of dedicated firefighting equipment aircraft. And you know, I even made a suggestion or sent a letter into the Record Searchlight describing this. It's a four-engine tilt-rotor aircraft like the V-22 Osprey, but it's a four-engine bird. I did an illustration of this kind of aircraft for Popular Mechanics a few years back. But if this thing was converted to firefighting with a kind of a snorkel up on the front end of it that could spray retardant yeah. on specific parts, you know, this thing could load up a heavy load of retardant, fly in at high speed, hover over the site, drop the retardant exactly where it needs to go. And if we had, you know, 100, yeah. 200 of these aircraft and everybody chipped in to pay for it, we wouldn't have these kind of problems.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, we're running out of time here. Oh, Mike?
Mark, we do collectively look at that across the boundaries of state and federal governments. In fact, the state of California has federal resources or federal surplus equipment that we have S2Ts. They provide 1,200 gallons a whack, and it's probably one of the most cost-effective air programs in the nation.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. Our guest today was Mike Chuckle, who has like 12 different jobs here, but this is not the first time you're going to be on. And this is Carl, and we've just run out of time again, people. Again, we have pushed our limits. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?